B-Pod Studios.
Hey, y'all. Mike Missanelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station. We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missanelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly, but Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. All competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is the Mike Missanelli Show on a, well, a different themed Wednesday. It is still General Knowledge Wednesday, but there's so much sports conversation that we have to deal with today. We are broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. The Sixers have decided to go for it this year. I didn't think it was going to happen to this magnitude, but they decided they're going to go for it. And barring a couple of players that they can get off of buyouts coming up shortly, the Sixers are very close to being the best team in the East. Even though they lost to Toronto last night, right? You saw what they were. They weren't Toronto. I know J.J. Redick did not play, but you left that game saying there's no way we can beat Toronto in a seven-game series. No way we can do it. So they go out and get Tobias Harris. That's a bigger player than I ever thought that they'd be able to get. And the numbers on Tobias Harris are staggering because I know a lot of people haven't seen a lot of the Clippers games. A lot of people don't stay up late to watch what the Clippers are doing when they're on TV. But I've got some stats for you to peruse and to digest. Tobias Harris. First of all, him in the starting lineup gives the 76ers the only team with four players averaging at least 17 points per game. Only team in the league. That not even the great Golden State Warriors can do that. Also, people are saying, well, are there enough balls to go around? Well, let me give you this stat here. It's called usage rate. This is one of those obscure analytic statistics that indicate that whether a guy needs the ball to score or not. Harris has the lowest usage rate this season among all players, averaging 20 points per game. 23% for Tobias Harris needs the ball in his hands to score. That means 67% of the time, he doesn't need the ball in his hands to score. That's what that means if you want to do some math here today. Buddy Hield is second in the league. Drew Holiday's third in the league. Now let me get to this one. Best three-point field goal percentage off the dribble. Now, I know there are a lot of people out there, oh, how can we lose Landry Shamet? When he can shoot it straight up, he can make a three. Well, here's a dude that makes three-pointers at a 47% clip, by the way, off the dribble. Best three-point field goal percentage off the dribble. Tobias Harris, 47.9. Guess who's second? Oh, little Steph. Little Steph is only at 43.8, Tyrone. 4 percentage points better than little Steph. And 6 percentage points better than Paul George. So you're getting a player who makes threes, who's long, who can score without the ball, who could be a part-time bit player on a team where he doesn't need the ball. It was the perfect guy to get. I didn't think they would even come close to getting a guy of this magnitude. And here they are. And they're saying, listen, we've given away. First of all, I know there are a lot of people out there that don't like the trade. I was just in Honeygrow. Guy comes up to me and he goes, taps me on his shoulder. He goes, listen, I know who you are. I go, hey, how you doing? I shake his hand. He goes, what do you think of the trade? I said, I love it. I think it's a great trade. He goes, I don't like giving up Shamet. I go, listen, Landry Shamet might, and I'm not even sure he is, might be a starter in this league. I'm not even sure he's a starter in this league. He's a nice player, okay? He maybe has an upside. I don't know if he has an all-world upside because he really can't defend. And he's a standstill jump shooter. That's basically what he is. So they gave up Landry Shamet. They gave up two salaries that really, I mean, you're not going to win with Wilson Chandler and Mike Muscala. Muscala had some moments. Wilson Chandler had very few moments. And you're giving away two draft picks that really don't mean anything because they're going to be in the late 20s. And the one Miami pick, which could amount to something decent. But more than likely, by that time, the Miami Heat are going to be in the middle of the pack anyway. So you're talking about a 15th pick. That's what they gave away to go for it this year. And they're not going to stop here. They're not just going to get Tobias Harris and call it a night. They're going to get a couple of other players. They may get Wesley Matthews off a buyout. They may get a couple players like that to add to the bench. Because right now you look at it and you go, well, they don't have a bench. They didn't have a bench before they made this trade last night. They really didn't. So we're like, what's missing? What's missing a couple players that they could pick up to add to their bench? They've improved their starting five. They will improve their bench. What's not to like about this deal? I mean, I'm glowing about this deal. Tobias Harris can play. Look at his numbers. He can score, and he shoots efficiently. So, you know, we'll talk about it today. I mean, the Sixers, I got to give them credit. They went for a splash. They said, you know what? Maybe we're not as good as the Golden State Warriors. But damn it, we're going to find out. We're going to find out in a series if we're good as the Golden State Warriors. And maybe by then we will be as good as the Golden State Warriors. Right now, it gives us a better chance to play against the Golden State Warriors. Because before, last night, deep into the night, they didn't have a shot to play against the Golden State Warriors. They didn't have a shot to win the East. And we all know it. So we're going to take your opinions today on this trade. And I know there are people that don't like it. We're going to have Tom Haberstroh, who is the NBA expert for NBC Sports Networks. We'll be on the show at 3:30 to analyze it. All the big players that analyze the NBA think the Sixers got a steal here. So if you don't think so, that's fine. Now make the case on why you don't think so. I know a lot of people are going, oh yeah, but look at the free agent thing for the next year. You know what? You can't count on getting free agents. We tried to do that this year, right? You can never count that those guys want to play for you. So you might as well build your team the way you can right now. And the way it looks, they can sign both Tobias Harris and Jimmy Butler. Maybe even bring back J.J. Redick next year. Keep the whole thing intact for next year. It's not like they're going to lose anybody either. All right, now Tyrone, this deal was consummated after you left the building last night.
Yeah.
After you left it for Sixers outsiders.
I'm out of the building. And then this happened in the middle of the night.
Yes.
Now, I'm so excited because I was pretty angry on outsiders last night because, and you know what? I wasn't even angry at the individual players. It's not Muscala's fault he's not good enough. It's not Shamet's fault he's not good enough. But we knew that for this year, they weren't good enough. Now they have a real chance. And nothing is off the table now. I know that they're probably worse than the Warriors. It's probably impossible to beat the Warriors. But I would love to see this Sixers team and see Simmons and Embiid and these guys against them. And Boston, I'm not afraid of them anymore. I'm not afraid of anybody anymore. That doesn't mean the Sixers are automatically going to make the finals. But now I feel like in a series, I know they're going to make some other moves. They have a shot. I no longer have to say, well, okay, I can make late May plans because they'll definitely be out of it. I can't make Memorial Day plans. They can still be in it. They can make the finals. They can make the finals now. Yeah. That's exciting.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And if you want more statistics, the question is how many players have made more three-pointers over the last two seasons at a higher rate than Tobias Harris? And the answer is two. There are only two players in the league that have shot three-pointers at a higher rate than Harris, and that's Steph Curry and Buddy Hield, who's now starting to come into his own as a shooter. So there you go. Now you're talking about a guy who's 6'9", 235. You're going to play him at the four. I know he's more of a three, but he can swing defensively. I don't think he's the greatest defensive player in the world. He's not a bad defensive player. But my man can score. And now you're talking about spacing with this team. You know, the only play they had on the perimeter was the hand off to JJ coming off the screen. Well, now this opens the floor tremendously with him and Butler on the floor at the same time with J.J. Redick. It's going to be really interesting to see how they blend this whole thing. All right, so today, talking about the trade, also the Nick Foles news, he said no go. He picked up the option. He bought out of it with $2 million. It's the move now, next for the Eagles, whether to make him a franchise player or not and try to trade him. We'll see what happens on that score. And it's also General Knowledge Wednesday today. General Knowledge Prize, the qualifying prize today. If you answer any question correctly, you get a tub of Goldenberg's peanut chews. You get some candy just for answering the question correctly, right? And the grand prize is the autographed Jason Peters jersey from our friends at Goldenberg's Peanut Chews. Peanut Chews, a proud partner of the Philadelphia Eagles. So the Goldenberg Peanut Chews people making it easy for you today to play General Knowledge. And our General Knowledge categories are General Knowledge, Events in History, 1990 movie quotes, and the answers contain the word day is the final category. All right. It is the Mike Missanelli Show. We're live on 97.5 The Fanatic. We're also on NBC Sports Philadelphia. And we're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
We call in the man who covers the NBA for NBC Regional Sports Networks. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline. His name is Tom Haberstroh. Tom, how you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. All right. First of all, your first impression of the deal and what it does for the Sixers?
A huge home run swing for Elton Brand, the GM, obviously gets Jimmy Butler in the door and then gets this Tobias Harris deal done ahead of the deadline. An incredible move for Elton Brand, you know, his debut as the GM. I was stunned. I did not see the Philadelphia 76ers taking that big of a swing here. But look, the East is there for the taking. I love Tobias Harris as a player. I think he's one of the most underrated players in the league. You're talking about a guy who's averaging 20 points per game and has made more threes and at a higher clip than anybody over the last 2 years than Stephen Curry and Buddy Hield in Sacramento, two of the best shooters in the league. Tobias Harris is right there with him, with those guys in terms of efficiency. So not only do they get that guy, but they get Boban Marjanovic, who is a great backup center for Joel Embiid, and Mike Scott, who's going to fill the rotation out in place of Mike Muscala. So not only is Tobias Harris a 26-year-old all-star in the Eastern Conference, he plays in the West, he wasn't an all-star because of that, but this is a deal that fills their voids, and it really puts a dent in the Toronto Raptors' ability to reel in Kawhi Leonard for the long haul, because the Clippers are now have an open max slot for Kawhi Leonard this summer. So if you're Toronto, you are not happy about this deal. Not only are the 76ers getting better, but it's hurting their chances to retain Kawhi.
Yeah, that has to be the aim of the Clippers there, the big fish that they're going after with Kawhi Leonard. But as we look at the Sixers now, being able to get this guy here, do you believe that right now he makes them the best team in the East?
I think they're going to be right there with the Boston Celtics, with the Toronto Raptors, and with the Milwaukee Bucks. I'm not ready to go above and beyond the Raptors or the Bucks or the Celtics right now, simply because I want to see what they do with Markelle Fultz. I think a lot of teams in the NBA are curious to see whether the 76ers are going to cut bait and try to get something for Markelle. Maybe it's a Justin Holiday, a 3-and-D guy to try to bolster their depth. And if they can really do that, if they can get a couple guys in the buyout market, I think that is going to inch them above the rest of the Eastern Conference. I don't think they're the favorites, but I think no one else has a distinct lead over the Philadelphia 76ers with that starting lineup. It's an incredible move for Elton Brand.
Yeah, so you're saying if they do get the one or two pieces, that then they would be the best in the East, but they're a little short of that right now.
Yeah, I mean, you remember last year when they got Ersan Ilyasova and Marco Bellinelli off the scrap heap from Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Those are the types of deals that I think they're going to be on the lookout for. So I think, you know, Joel Embiid, you know, Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris and J.J. Redick and Ben Simmons, that's a lot of cooks in the kitchen, but that's a good problem to have. We were saying the same thing about the Warriors a couple years ago when Kevin Durant was added to the team. That's a really good problem to have, and I think, you know, the fit is, makes a lot of sense. He's an amazing three-point shooter. He's a really big body. And I think in the Eastern Conference, that's going to be really, really helpful going against the rest of the, you know, Giannis Antetokounmpo and Kawhi Leonard.
Well, the most interesting stat that I found was this usage rate. And he has the lowest usage rate, meaning he doesn't need to have the ball in his hands to score. 23%, and that's just ahead of Buddy Hield and Drew Holiday in the league. So that tells me he's a blender type of player.
No doubt. And you know what? Like, he is a big dude, 6'9". He's really efficient in the pick and roll. If they need for him to pace the second unit a little bit, if Jimmy Butler and Ben Simmons hit the bench, he can do those things. Look, he's not Kevin Durant, but, you know, Paul George, no one's Kevin Durant, first of all, but Paul George is probably the closest facsimile to Kevin Durant. And then after that, it's Tobias Harris. So I think if you're the 76ers, you're really happy with not only did you get an amazing off-ball shooter, who, by the way, is shooting at a higher percentage than J.J. Redick over the last 2 years, but you're also getting a guy who can pace the second unit, and you can break up the starting lineup, and you don't have to be so light in that second unit. So I think Tobias Harris is an excellent get. Now, of course, he's going to be pricey this summer, but you're in the Philadelphia market. This is what you came to play for. You know, this is, you get these young guys. Tobias Harris is 26 years old. He's not an older dude. I think this is a case where you do max him out. You try to keep him in for the long haul because he's still in his prime.
What kind of a defender is he that you see?
So I mentioned Paul George earlier. Mm-hmm. He is not Paul George as a defender. Uh-huh. He's a guy who, if you're going to be needing a guy to a stopper, it's going to be Jimmy Butler and it's going to be Ben Simmons. You are not going to put Tobias Harris on there. He's not a minus defender. It's just he, for the last couple stops that he's had in the NBA, he's had to be the number one option. And I think, you know, for him, he hasn't been able to focus on the defensive end, but he's a really big body. He has good instincts. It's just not, he's not the guy who's going to, you know, wrap up the opposing scorer like Paul George.
Is he a better defender than Wilson Chandler at this stage?
Yeah, and he's a lot more mobile than Wilson Chandler. So I think what this deal is you're taking four quarters and you're exchanging it for a dollar. You know, you're taking a bunch of role players in the deal, and Shamit's a good role player. He's young, but if you're trying to win the championship and you're trying to get to the finals and coming out of the gauntlet in the East at the top, these are the types of deals that you make, and you try to swing for the fences. And for a 26-year-old, I mean, he's the same age as Malcolm Brogdon, who won the Rookie of the Year 2 years ago. So I think people think that Tobias Harris is old and he's Jimmy Butler's age, but he's really, 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 he's Kyrie. You know, he's the same age as Kyrie. So I think people need to, you know, understand that this is not just a one-year rental. I think they should build around Tobias Harris, Ben Simmons, and Joel Embiid, and Jimmy Butler. This isn't, I don't think, just a one-year, four-month rental.
We're talking to Tom Haberstroh, who analyzes the NBA for NBC Sports Networks. And Tom, who are the most likely scrap heapers that you think they can end up with?
Yeah, guys like Garrett Temple, he's a 3-and-D guy, was usually just a D guy, just a guy who is a defensive stalwart in Sacramento, in Miami. He's been bouncing around the league, but in Memphis, he's a really good player. Justin Holiday, Drew Holiday's brother, who's now in Memphis as well. Wesley Matthews is another name in the buyout candidate. These 3-and-D guys can really help on the wing just to bolster their depth there. And again, I think the Boban Marjanovic acquisition is super underrated. He's super talented, really productive, but he can only play for 10, 15 minutes a game. And I think that's all they're really going to need behind Joel Embiid in the playoffs.
All right. Now, a lot of people are asking, can the Sixers hold this together with Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris for next year? What do your numbers tell you?
Yes, they can. Next season is not really the worry. It's the season after that. When the rookie extensions start to kick in with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, that's the worry. You're going to get into the luxury tax big time, you know, $120 million before you start filling in the rest of the contracts and the rotation. So the ownership group, they have to be ready to foot the bill, because if you want to win a championship, you know, Dan Gilbert in Cleveland did the same exact thing, you know, re-signing Tristan Thompson and J.R. Smith to add that, to bolster that depth. This is the same sort of thing that the Philadelphia 76ers have to deal with. I think it's smart because Jimmy Butler and Tobias Harris, it's really hard to get them in the door. And I think with that kind of culture and then Brett Brown as the head coach, you want to keep those guys in the fold because you never know what happens in Golden State. We're at the top of the East.
All right, last question quickly because a lot of people are lamenting the loss of Landry Shamet. He did make some threes here. What do you see and what's the league see in Landry Shamet as a ceiling?
I think this is a little bit of, you know, ownership bias or investment bias. You know, like if Landry Shamet was on another team, I don't think the 76ers fans would be that attached to him. But it's hard to see a young guy, like, you know, who dealt with the Markelle Fultz thing, who came in and did a really nice, you know, rookie season, hit a lot of shots. He's not a great defender, but I think he's a high energy guy, but he's ultimately going to be a role player in the role of like Courtney Lee. You know, he's not necessarily going to be an all-star candidate. So Tobias Harris is going to be an all-star in the Eastern Conference. I mean, if he continues this play, he's going to be an all-star. Landry Shamet's a nice role player, a 3-and-D guy, and he tops out as a 3-and-D star, but I don't think he's going to be an all-star. So that's a deal you have to make. Even if it seems like he was a really good role player for his rookie season.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Our next guest, covering the Sixers, of course, for the Philadelphia Inquirer, has to cover the game. They beat the Toronto beats them, and all of a sudden, in the wee hours, boom, a trade, and he has to kick into action. He's joining us on the Comcast Business Hotline, the man who covers the Sixers, Keith Pompey. Keith, what kind of night did you have?
Hey, what's up, man? It's been a busy morning, to say the least. Busy day now.
Well, take me through when this breaks, and you as a reporter, how you have to kick into gear.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it breaks, and then next thing you know, you hear your phone beeping, and then you have a couple of texts, and you just say, oh, man, who's calling this time of the morning? Who's texting me? And you look, and you're like, oh, wow. And then you just, you start getting on it. At first, you're, like, kind of looking around for your laptop, you know, seeing where it is. You're going upstairs, downstairs. I mean, it was a crazy morning. I mean, but it's something that everyone's talking about all day. You know what I mean? Everywhere I went, I was down in my old neighborhood in Frankfurt, and that's all people were talking about. So, you know, it's just, you know, it's a lot, and it's bringing excitement back to the Sixers, you know?
Well, it's certainly a big deal here, and it's a big deal, I think, because of this, because we knew they were fishing. They pulled a big one out of the lake with this guy.
Exactly. I mean, you know, when you look at this guy and we're talking about Tobias Harris, you know, he isn't an all-star, but he's, you know, what they call like a fringe all-star. Like, he's right on that level. I mean, here's a guy that's, you know, having a career year, you know, averaging 20 points, shooting like 40-something% for three. So, you know, and when you put him in to the mix of what the Sixers need, it works out well. Like, the thing that gets me is, you know, early on in the season, you know, or actually they made the trade, you know, Embiid complained about having to play in the perimeter. Well, Tobias Harris is a guy where Embiid could go back down on the block and doesn't have to worry about coming out in the perimeter because Tobias is like a stretch four. He's also a scorer. So it kind of like he is the guy that they need to make this group, you know, this starting lineup, you know, formidable to go up against, you know, Toronto and Boston and Milwaukee and so forth. So that's the thing that really makes this trade such a good trade.
Did you have any whiff of this? He was playing last night. He played 36 minutes. He had the game-winning shot. I mean, I'm surprised that it developed the way it did with the guy playing 36 minutes.
Yeah, I am too. And you know, typically, you know, you've been covering this for a long time. Typically, people don't make trades like that for fear of guys getting injured. And I don't know what it was, but, you know, yesterday at the game, the fans, some of the fans let Elton Brand hear it. I mean, they were heckling him, but they were, you know, fun-loving heckles. But Elton, make a move. Elton, make a move. We need this. We need that. And when you look at the product on the floor, you know, outside of the big three, J.J. Redick wasn't playing. I mean, you can say the Sixers struggled mightily. They looked bad. And they did not look like a team that was going to be able to get out of the, you know, the second round of the playoffs. And I think what happened, you know, the Sixers probably had, you know, they had offer made at them from the Clippers. And it was one of those things after the game was like, let's make this deal happen. We got to do it now. Let's do it now. And I think that's what happened.
You pointed out what it's going to do on the floor. It spaces them out completely differently now. I mean, they had the dribble handoff play to J.J. Redick, and they really weren't spaced. And, you know, Butler was kind of confused by what kind of spacing they had. This gives them a lot better spacing, does it not?
It does. It does. It gives them a whole lot better spacing. And you know, the one thing, if I have one question, is like, you know, how are you going to implement him? Now, again, we know with the spacing, but we also know that Jimmy Butler is a quality closer. We know that Embiid is the best player on the team. So, and you have to keep him involved. So it's going to create spacing, but early on, I think you may have to run some, you know, plays for him early in the game just to get him active and get his juices going, because you know that at late in the game, it's going to be Jimmy Butler. And you know that Embiid's going to have his imprint on the game throughout. So my question is just, how do you keep all of them happy? How do you keep the three? Because Ben Simmons will be fine as long as guys are making shots. And I'm not worrying about J.J. Redick. I think he's a great team guy. But the question is, how are you going to keep these three guys happy? And I think they're going to have to get him involved early on.
Talk to Keith Pompey, covers the Sixers for the Inquirer. Keith, what did they give up here? A lot of people thought they gave up too much. What exactly did they give up?
You know, it's kind of weird. I mean, it's one of those things, like when you talk to the 76ers and they'll say to you, okay, we gave up our 2020, you know, a protected lottery pick, you know, for 3 years. And they'll say, look, we expect to be a playoff contender for the next several years. I mean, expect to be one of the best teams around. So that draft pick is not going to be as good as most people think, right? So they were willing to give that up. Now, the Miami Heat pick that they gave up, it was the 2021 first rounder unprotected. You know, they're saying right now, like, hey, look, we got Zaire Smith, right? And we got this pick, and we turned this pick into, you know, Tobias Harris. So, you know what I mean? There are going to be certain people, and there are a lot of people around the league, a lot of executives and people on TV saying, I don't like this trade. I mean, I think the Sixers gave up too much. I think they did. But, you know, for a while, the Sixers have been stockpiling draft picks for years, and we kept saying, what are you going to do with these draft picks? Well, they got a guy who they think that they're going to be able to re-sign after this season in Tobias Harris. They want him long-term, and they use this pick to get him. And I say to certain people that, hey, look, a while we were always asking the Sixers to go out there and make a move and stand by it. Well, they stood by it, and they did it. So we'll see what comes of it.
All right. Are you sniffing that there's another deal to come before tomorrow and may it involve Markelle Fultz?
It kind of intrigues me. You know, they got Malachi Richardson. You know, he's a guy, you know, in his last year. A nice guy from the Philadelphia area. But I don't know if he moves the needle in regards to, like, you know, being your focal point for the future. The only thing about Markelle, he has yet to pick up a ball, and he makes so much money. And I think those two things may scare away, you know, a guy from another team. Now, if the Sixers can get rid of him, if there's going to be someone willing to take on his salary, I mean, I think they'll do it in a heartbeat. I just think it's a matter of, you know, being able to get someone willing to pull the trigger on Markelle Fultz. I think that's the problem right now. If they can do it, they will, but I don't know if they can.
Do you think that they would have given up Fultz before they would have given up Shamet if that was possible, if the Clippers were interested?
You know, Wow, that's a good question, Mike. I mean, it really is. And I would have to believe that if there were certain people who would take Markel's salary, you know, and the Clippers would have been one of them, I think you would consider that because, you know, no, I take that back. And the reason why I take that back is just because you look at the other two guys, and we're talking about Wilson Chandler. He comes off the books. The Clippers are trying to go hard in free agency.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Markel Fultz, you know, trying to get him and then trying to dump his salary next year would have helped him. I think that Landry Shamet is a guy who can create shots. You get him in the right situation where you have stars, you bring him in, he can have a Danny Green type of role. Whereas Markel Fultz is not that type of player, and he's going to eat up some of your cap space. So I think, no, I think Landry Shamet played himself, you know, on to being a better, you know, trade prospect.
Okay. Last question is now their rotation. They still need a bench. Their bench is still inadequate. Although Scott can play, and we've seen him have some moments with Atlanta. Who are the first three off the bench? Who's the first guy off the bench? Is it Boban? Is it Scott? Is it Tim? Like, who is it at this point now?
I mean, right now, I think you're the first guy off the bench. I mean, I think it may have to be Scott.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to have to be Scott. But when you bring Scott off the bench, I think it's going to be one of those things where, you know, Scott will slide. I mean, excuse me, Tobias Harris will probably slide down to the three. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think Boban is going to be a situational type player. He'll come in and get minutes. And then, like, if they're going up against a small lineup and they think he may clog some things up, you know, I think they may throw Amir Johnson out there for a couple minutes. But I think the goal is primarily in the playoffs is to get Embiid to a situation to where he can give you as many minutes as possible. But I think Scott will have to be the first guy coming off the bench.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.